Amen. So glad that you're here at New City Church with us today. We are excited to start the new year off and to start it off right at the family of God and the Word of God and the presence of God. And that's what we want to do in 2016. And we're so excited you're here at New City. If it's your first time here, we welcome you again and to a multi-ethnic, multi-generational church. We strive to reflect the kingdom of God, the new city. That's why we're called New City, the kingdom, the new city, here on earth as it is in heaven. And that's our goal, our desire to reflect that. And we want to reflect that the way we look, how we worship, who we are, and that we might be a foretaste of the kingdom that is to come. And that where Jesus will make all things new, the new heaven, new earth, and where there'll be no more sickness and health, no more racism, no more division. And we long to be a church that reflects that here on this earth, that we might bring healing to this world and bring Jesus to people, that they might see the transforming power he has for them. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're going to start a two-week series here to start the new year called Turning Over a New Leaf. Have anyone ever heard that phrase before? A lot of people use that phrase at the beginning of a new year, at the end of an old, bring in the new, let the new year ring, and we're going to turn over a new leaf. How many of you have ever heard that phrase before? Turning over a new leaf. Yeah, it's a very common phrase. And how many of you today would say you made some New Year's resolutions? Maybe you didn't call them that, goals, some things you want to do differently. Maybe you didn't write it down, but in your head you're thinking, I'm going to do stuff differently in 2016. Anybody? I made some. Anybody else? Man, you guys are unmotivated people. I hope your 2015 was just as lousy as, 2016 was just as lousy as your 2015. Just joking. Well, it's very common. If you were to go to the gym on tomorrow, which I'm going to try to do, you go to the gym tomorrow, there'll be a lot of new people joining. Everybody wants to join the gym in 2016. A new year, we want to join up. We're going to try things differently. Everyone sets New Year's goals and resolutions, or a lot of people do. Apparently no one in this room does, but a lot of other people do. And they want to set goals and resolutions, and they say, well, this is how we're going to be different in the new year. So we're going to turn over a new leaf. And that phrase, turning over a new leaf, actually is a very ancient phrase. They used to call books, because they made books out of leaves, out of paper. They made paper out of leaves. They used to call it turning over a new page. It's turning over the leaf. In other words, you're starting a brand new page. This year is done. This old is past. This page has been read. We're going to turn over the page. We're going to start fresh. We're going to start new. We're going to turn over a new leaf. And this page is going to be blank, it's going to be empty, and it's yet to be written, and this is what's going to be written down in our new year, in this new time, as we turn over the new leaf, this is what it's going to mean. That's what the phrase means. And so in 2016, what does it mean for us as followers of Jesus to turn over a new leaf? And what should we be looking to be made new in? And who are we looking to be made new like? And what are we looking to do in our newness that we've been made in? What does it mean for us to turn over a new leaf? I don't really necessarily think that if you make goals, you're going to accomplish them. A lot of people set these huge New Year's resolutions and they never fulfill those things and they feel like failures. But really our lists usually are made with one thing in mind. What can I do differently? But have we ever thought to ask the question, what can God do? What does God want to do? What does he want my 2016 to look like? Have you ever stopped and just thought about that for a second? Instead of what do you want to accomplish, what do you want to do? What do you hope to be in life this next year? You hope to really be there. You want to have this thing figured out. Maybe you want to be in a relationship by the end of 2016. Maybe you want to be healthy by the end of 2016. Maybe you want to be in a new city by 2016, a new job somewhere by the end of 2016. You set all these goals, but have you ever stopped and say, God, what do you want for me in 2016? What is it that you have for me in store? What do you have in store for me? What is it you want from me in 2016? How can I be your obedient servant in 2016? Maybe we should turn over a new leaf and leave the page blank and let God begin to work in our lives and let God begin to write the pages, the words on the page of our lives, and let him turn over this new leaf in our lives and make us who he wants us to be in 2016. Now, I did make a New Year's resolution. I did, and it's going to be a hard one that I'm not looking forward to, but I've set a New Year's resolution to become healthier. I have two kids now, and I have gained, this is going to shock you because I know how good I look still, but I've gained 40 pounds since I moved to Chicago. I know, crazy. The Lord has been good to me. The Lord has been good to me. And so I want to be healthier. So my goal is to begin eating healthy. So I'm starting a diet with my wife and my roomies. And we're starting this healthy eating plan that's part of the development of being more healthy, that I might be around for my kids and might be just a healthier person physically. I've set that goal. That is a goal that I feel led to do, because it's also a little bit spiritual for me, because I feel like I'm a stress eater and I go to food and other things whenever things are just really, I get anxious and I go to those things. That's just comfort for me. It's comfort food. I'm from the South. That's what we do. It's just comfort food. It's Southern hospitality. That's what we do. And so it's a little bit of spiritual too, but mainly it's just a physical goal that I've set. That's the only goal I've set for myself in 2016, besides I'm getting my doctorate, finishing school, and those type of things like that. But really the rest of it, you know what I decide this year to do? I just want to leave it blank. And I say, God, what do you want to do in my life? 2016, God, what do you want to do? I'm not going to make the plans that I have made in the past. I just want to be in line with your will, God. I want to know what your good and perfect will is for me. So how do we know what that is? Turn to Romans chapter 12. This is huge. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse, we're just going to read two verses today. Next week, we're going to build off of this and turning over a new leaf next week and talk about kind of the past and how it affects us. But today, we want to talk about really the good news of the kingdom of God, the good news. Romans 12, verse 1 says this, I appeal to you, therefore. Therefore, brothers and sisters, I appeal to you, therefore. So this is Paul writing this book, this letter to the church at Rome. He's writing it to them and he's appealing to them. Therefore, I appeal to you, or I urge you, brothers and sisters, to the church, to all the church, I urge you, brothers and sisters, I appeal to you in view of God's mercy. And really that word should be plural, and the Greek is plural, in view of God's mercies and the fact that he's abounded us in his mercy, that he's lavished us in his mercy, that's poured out his mercies upon us. In view of God's mercies, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worshiper. This is your spiritual act of worship. So therefore, Paul is saying to the church, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies. So it's not that you came to this conclusion on your own. It's not that you came to this decision by yourself. It's the fact that in the view of God's mercies and what he's revealed to you and how he's revealed himself to you, and God has been good, amen, that God has revealed his mercies to us. Mercies are new every morning is what David wrote in the Psalms, that his mercies are new every morning, that though sorrow may come in the night, that joy comes in the morning, that in view of the mercies of God and how he's shown his mercy to us, how he's lavished his mercy upon us, it's in view of this that we are able to respond to God. We cannot respond to something we do not know, and we do not know God unless he reveals himself to us. We cannot find God on our own. We cannot come to God on our own. In fact, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit has to draw us into the Father in order for us to even know that the Father is real. His mercies, in view of his mercies, in view of the mercies of God that he's lavished upon us. And I would say that the fact that we have breath this morning is a mercy, amen? The fact that we have are able to come into this place and to worship and to be here is a sign of God's mercies. The fact that we maybe have roofs over our heads and maybe just have food and the littlest things, right, that God has shown us his what? His mercies. And for those that don't have a roof over their head, that God is still providing them a way to live, that God is showing his mercies. His mercies are new. His mercies are there. That God is showing us his mercy. And it's in view of this mercy that he's urging the church to understand that God's mercies, to have a perspective, to turn over a new leaf. In other words, to think differently. What does it mean to think differently about the view, to view God's mercies differently? Because in the past, he's saying the way you viewed his mercies hasn't led to a change in your life, hasn't led to you making a decision. He's saying, I want you to view the mercies of God in such a way that you offer something. You see, I want you to view the mercies of God, and then I want you to offer. I don't want you to sit there and be, wow, God, your mercies are awesome, and just to sit there and do nothing. No, I want you to view the mercies of God, and the way that you're viewing God's mercies that are new every morning to you, I want you to respond. You see, there's a response to the mercies of God. You see, we cannot find God on our own, but this is why it's called grace through faith. We must put our faith into the mercies, into the grace that he's shown us. There's a response that comes from us, that comes from our lives, that what are we supposed to do? He's saying, therefore, I urge you to offer your bodies. That's what he's urging them to do. That therefore, then the comma, the phrasing here is, I urge you, church, in view of God's mercies. But what's he urging them to do? He's urging them to offer their bodies. He's urging them to offer themselves. He's pleading, I appeal to you, church. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, offer your bodies. Now, this word offer is also found in Romans chapter 6 when he's presenting the good news of salvation to the church. He's saying that you must offer yourself to this, that you must offer yourself to the kingdom, to this good news, to this gospel. And I'm going to read a little bit to you. It says, Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with Christ. For we know that since Christ, this is from Romans 6, just listen. For that we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Did you catch that? Now, if we died with Christ, right? If we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Now, maybe you guys didn't hear me. Let me read that again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Thank you. I know that deserved an amen there. Death no longer has mastery over Jesus. He has conquered death. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your body so that you obey its evil desires. Instead, verse 13, do not offer, same word as Romans 12, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer, same word as Romans 12, rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death into life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. You see, this word offer is mentioned three times in response to the fact that Jesus is alive. In response to the fact that Jesus has mastered the grave and he is alive and has made you alive with him by offering you his mercy and his grace, his mercies are new. He's offered that to you. He's saying, now offer your life to me. Don't offer yourself back to your sinful mortal body that obeys its evil desires. Don't offer yourself to that world. No, no, no. Offer yourselves to God. Because you've been brought from death into life. And offer every part of yourself. How much of yourself? Every part of yourself as an instrument of righteousness. If you go back to Romans 12, it's the same word. It's the same action word that Paul is using here. There's always a response to the good news of Jesus. There's always a response. Either you sit there and you hear it, or you sit there and you offer. It's just the response. And he's saying, you offer yourself. I'm pleading with you. Just like I did in Romans 6, I'm pleading with you to offer your bodies, your entire self, everything you are, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, set apart and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is what it means to worship God. It doesn't mean singing songs. It doesn't mean gathering in a church. To truly worship, your spiritual act of worship, to truly worship him is to offer. It's to offer something. And it's to offer yourself, which is why in Amos, he says, away with the noise of your songs, away with the noise of your hymns. I'm tired of you singing to me if you're going to ignore the orphans and widows outside of your camp. Because you're not offering yourself to me, you're singing a bunch of songs to me. But if you're really offering yourself to me as a living sacrifice, and you'd be doing my commands and taking care of the widows and orphans. The same thing when Isaiah says the same exact thing, or Micah chapter 6, where he says to seek justice, to look to end oppression and to walk humbly before the God, loving kindness. He's saying that I don't want you just before that to sing a bunch of songs to me. I don't want your sacrifices. In fact, he tells David what? It's better to obey than to what? Than to bring sacrifices. He doesn't want your religiosity. He doesn't want your religious acts. He wants your life. He wants you to offer yourself. He wants you to obey. We define disciple here at New City as hear and obey. In other words, we're hearing from God and we're offering ourselves as obedient sacrifices to him, saying, we hear God, we obey. We hear from him, now we do. Because we're offering our lives to you as our spiritual act of worship. And see, the Roman church, the church of in this day understood what they meant, because they were still in a sacrificial system right before this. In order for their sins to be forgiven, they would take an animal. And they would take that animal and they lay it on the altar. They would sacrifice that animal. The blood would be spilt and the sins would be forgiven. But he's saying, no, I want you to offer your bodies as a what? A living sacrifice. You see, that was not a living sacrifice. That was a dead sacrifice. It was dead. It was done. He's saying, no, this is that you're offering yourselves continuously over and over again, that you're willingly going, because it says this is your true and proper, your spiritual act of worship. Why is it spiritual? Because as you offer yourself, you're willingly, intentionally, and knowingly setting yourself on this altar. It's not like it's just some animal that doesn't know what's going on, that just placed there in your spot, that just takes. No, Jesus did that for you already, because you couldn't do it for yourself. He knowingly, intentionally, and willingly went to the cross to take away all your sins. Now he's asking you to knowingly, willingly, and intentionally put yourself on the altar and offer everything you have to him. This is holy and pleasing to God. Are you willing to offer yourself, to offer yourself, to turn over a new leaf in 2016, I believe the first thing we must do is just offer ourselves. Are you willing to offer yourselves to God this new year? Are you willing to say, God, my life is yours. Write on this page whatever you want. My life is yours. I offer myself to you. I willingly, knowingly place myself upon your altar. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to willingly, knowingly, intentionally place myself upon your altar. Are you able to do that? That's what we want to do in 2016. Verse 2 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but instead what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but instead what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's two contrasts here. Do not conform, which is the same as Romans 6, which says, offer yourself to this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world or to the ways of this world, but be transformed. And by the way, you cannot transform yourself. He's saying, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind leads to transformation. Conforming to the pattern of this world is just us conforming. It's just us putting ourselves and offering ourselves to this world. We conform. But to offer ourselves as living sacrifices means that we're just saying, God, do with us what you want. And when we renew our minds, because God is renewing our minds, when we offer ourselves, we become transformed into his likeness. He says, then, if you want to know what God wants for you in 2016, if you want to know what God wants for you tomorrow, if you want to know what God wants for you the rest of the day, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I feel like so many people come to me and they're like, I just don't know what God wants for me. I don't know what God has in store for me. I don't know what the will of God is. I think you're trying to figure something out without going through the process of what it takes to know God. I think you're trying to figure out what the will of God is instead of trying to put yourself in a position just to know God. I think you're trying to figure out what the plan that God has for your life is without figuring out the fact that the plan that God has for your life is just to know him, just to be with him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and the rest of these things, they'll take care of themselves. But seek first me and my kingdom. This is the good and perfect holy will for God. And he's saying, I have these other things for you, but you can't get these other things that I have for you if you don't get me. You can't get these other things that you want and that you desire in your heart if you don't get me. And that happens only through the renewing of our mind. You see, we think it might happen by emotionally singing songs or attending conferences and hearing these things. But no. It comes by the renewing of our minds. There's a verse I have, Steve, I think it's in Proverbs, I think. Can you put that up there? Did I leave it there? Yeah, it says, above all else, this is talking to, he's talking about wisdom. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You see, in the Hebrew culture, heart, they understood the heart as we understand mind. It's like, we think of heart, we think of emotions. We think, I love you with my heart. That's why I say to my wife, I love you with my heart. And that's an emotion I feel, but then there's times that I don't feel like I love her. Like, you know, whenever we get in an argument or a fight, and maybe I don't feel, it's not a feeling, but then it's what? It's more of like an understanding that in my mind, I know that I love her. I know it's a choice that I've made and something I know that is real, that I know I love my wife more than anything else. And so therefore, it's coming. That's what they meant by the heart there. That's like that what we know, who we are, everything flows from that. It's not fleeting and based on emotions or circumstances. That's what we think of the heart is. It's kind of determined by how we're feeling in our mood. But when they understand heart, they understand it by the mind. It's determined by what we know, what is evident in our lives, what is our anchor, what is for sure. He says, above all else, guard that, because everything from life flows from it. Everything from life flows from that. And when Paul was writing about that, heart and mind are the same in their culture. They understand that the renewing of the mind, what you know to be certain, what you know is evident, what you know has to be renewed, because you act out of what you know. You act out of what you are convinced of. Listen, guys, if I'm going to lose all this weight, I got to be convinced in my mind that I got to do it. It can't just be because I feel like it, right? Because let me tell you something. When I see a triple cheeseburger with bacon on it, oh, Lord, doesn't that sound good? Maybe not to you. Man, that sounds good. Or maybe I see a deep dish pizza stuffed with all that cheese. Pour some red peppers on there and just top it off with some Parmesan. Man, that sounds good. Maybe get some cannoli or some pasta. And my wife wants me to eat some chicken salad with spinach leaves and nothing else on it. Amen. That doesn't sound too good to me. That doesn't sound good to you, but this is me we're talking about here. My heart ain't in that. My heart ain't in that. My heart ain't in some kale chips. Give me some Doritos, some real chips. My heart ain't in that. And man, if I'm not convinced in my mind that I'm committed to this and what I know is right, even when I don't feel like eating those things, I know that I have to. That's the only way I'm going to be able to do this. I have to be convinced of it. It has to be every part of me says that this is what I'm going to do. I have to be committed. I must offer myself to this diet in order for it to succeed, or else it's just going to be another New Year's resolution that I will make again next year in 2017. Right? It's the same thing. We must offer ourselves every day. That's why Luke 9:23 says, take up your cross daily, deny yourself and follow me. We must offer ourselves daily. And it's the renewing of our mind that will lead to us being transformed. It's the renewing of our mind because we're convinced that Jesus is real. We're convinced that he has raised himself from the dead. We're convinced that death no longer has a hold on him. Therefore, sin no longer has a hold on me. That we're offering ourselves now to God because he is holy, and the sin we know no longer has a hold on me only brings me down. So even though I feel like maybe doing this sin, even though I feel like maybe conforming to the patterns of this world, I don't do it because my mind has been renewed. Therefore, my life is being transformed because I know that is evil for me. That will do me harm. But instead, I go over here, what I know is good and perfect for me, that God has for me, because my mind has been renewed. And that's what we need. We need to offer ourselves to God in response to his mercies. We must offer ourselves to God, allow him to renew our mind that we might be transformed, not conformed to this pattern, but transformed in the likeness of his son, Jesus Christ, that we might showcase his glory and his kingdom to a world that continues to go in a cyclical problem of violence and sin and wars and racism and poverty and where widows and orphans aren't taken care of, and a problem that continues to exist because people are deciding not to offer themselves in view of the mercies of God. So 2016, if there's anything you want to do, go for it. That's great. But the most important thing you can do in 2016 is to turn over a new leaf. Just turn it over and say, God, my life is yours. I offer myself to you, God. My life is yours. As a living sacrifice, I willingly, and I intentionally lay myself at the altar as a living sacrifice. This page isn't written yet because you haven't written it yet, but I trust you to write it. And I don't know what you're going to write on this page, but my life is yours. And write whatever you want, because I know that my mind's going to be transformed and my life will be transformed because my mind's going to be renewed because you, God, are holy and perfect. So if you want to know what the will of God is, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Why? Because your mind is thinking differently. You'll be able to test and approve and know what God's will is because your mind will be thinking differently. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, his will is perfect. Our will is not. His will is pleasing. Our will often is destructive. His will is good. Ours often can be evil. But his will is good, perfect, and pleasing. And when our minds are renewed, we begin to know what the will of God is. We stop asking questions like, what does God want me to do? Instead, we're saying, we're doing exactly what God wants us to do. And you're doing it with confidence, knowing who you are as a son and daughter of God. God is writing that page for you now. If you'll just offer yourself to him, 2016 can be the year when you turned over a new leaf and God did a great work in your life because he started renewing your mind. Now, there's some things I can tell you that will help us to have our minds renewed. How do we have faith if we don't hear? How do we obey if we don't hear? How do we know if we don't hear? We must hear from God. We can't have our minds renewed if we're constantly filling our minds with the things of this world. We can't have our minds renewed if we're constantly seeing this world and the patterns of this world, thinking that's what we want. We have to have our minds renewed by seeing what Jesus wants us to see and hearing what Jesus wants us to hear. Only then will we know that that's from God or not from God. And we know that he's given us this book, the Bible, 66 books that he's given us that tell us exactly who he is, who we are, and what he wants us to know. And it's there right there for us. He's already given it to us. And we're sometimes looking for some sort of fresh revelation or something new. And he's like, I've already told you this before. If you'll just look, it's there. To have our minds renewed daily to focus on his mercies. Because you know that Paul says, in view of his mercies, do these things. If we don't have a view of God's mercies every day, we're not going to offer ourselves. We're going to offer ourselves to what we view. If we view this world, that's what we're going to offer ourselves to. But if we begin to focus our lives on his word, on God himself, his presence, the Holy Spirit that is in us, to walk in that and to access it, that we view his mercies, then we begin to offer. You see, doesn't his mercy make you want to offer something? Have you ever had someone do something so good to you? It was so good to you. Maybe they provided a meal for you when you really needed one. Maybe they gave you money when you really needed a bill paid. Maybe they gave you a gift that you just really wanted and you didn't deserve it. And it was so good. And in view of that mercy, didn't you give them a hug or say thank you? Didn't you respond to the mercy, the grace, the goodness that they showed you? You see, when view that, we offer something. And didn't you say, oh, I don't have any money, but if I did, I wish I could give you something back. You want to offer something back because you're responding to the goodness of their grace that they showed you. In view of what we read in Romans 6, that Christ died and that he rose from the grave and that death no longer holds him down, that death no longer has a sting, that sin no longer has any power, that he has set us free. And the fact that that is the case and we view that every day, don't you think we might want to offer something to him? That he is that good, that he has died for our sins. Every day we wake up, we have a breath because he died for our sins. And we view his mercy. Every morning we wake up, we open up his word, and we're like, oh my goodness, God has brought his people through something else, and that promise is actually still for me. Or oh my goodness, that man, he disciplines those he loves. I'm glad that God loves me because he sure is disciplining me right now. We're able to read his word and say, oh my goodness, that everything flows from the heart. I better guard my heart. Maybe I shouldn't be watching what I've been watching lately. Or maybe I shouldn't be acting the way I've been acting because I need to guard my heart because everything flows from it. Oh my goodness, God, thank you for your word. And in view of those things, that our mind is beginning to be renewed. We're becoming convinced that Jesus is really alive. Do your actions show that you really believe that Jesus is alive? Because that's what you're offering yourself to. In view of God's mercy, does your life offer to the fact that Jesus is alive and conquered death and sin and made you a son and daughter of him? Or do we live like orphans, lost in this world, conforming to everybody else and what they think is truth and what they think is right? Our minds haven't been renewed. We're like that feather that just flows in the wind that Jesus says, and Paul says to the church at Ephesus, tossed to and fro by unsound doctrine, just like the waves toss a ship back and forth. Oh, this sounds great. Let's go over here. Oh, man, this is awesome. This is great. I really feel the Spirit here. This is great. And then you realize they're not teaching that Jesus is the only way. And you're like, oh, that's cool. Well, maybe Jesus isn't the only way. And then maybe we go over here, and we're like, this sounds really good. Maybe this is okay now. And then our minds, we got to be renewed. And it comes by knowing God. God renews our minds for us. That's the thing. The only action we have in here, guys, is offer. He does everything else. You cannot change your behavior. You cannot make yourself better. He just says one thing, just offer. Just offer yourself. Say, God, I choose you. I offer myself. I'm turning over a new leaf. Here's my blank page. I offer myself to you. Then he renews, he transforms. That's the beauty of the good news of the kingdom of God. So in 2016, we want to turn over a new leaf. I want you to turn over a new leaf. Here at New City, we want to turn over a new leaf. And we don't know what God has in store for this church for 2016. I don't know what God has in store for my life. I don't know what God has in store for your life. But I want to know this. This is what I do know, is that I want to offer myself to God and say, God, use me for whatever you have. Whatever you have, my page is blank. I've turned over a new leaf, and I'm offering myself as a living sacrifice, knowingly, intentionally offering myself to you, God, because I want my mind to be renewed, and I want my life to be transformed, because I offer myself as a holy sacrifice to you. I want to be set apart. I want to know what your good and perfect will is for me. So I offer myself to you. And so I'm committing because I want to sleep sometimes, but I'm going to offer myself to you and get up and read my word anyways. I know I don't want to attend the gathering every week, but I'm offering myself to you because I know that I need to be in the family of God. Because listen, guys, I can try this diet on my own, but if it wasn't for my wife, community, holding me accountable and stuff, I wouldn't be able to do it. How do you think you can follow God without accountability, without community, without the family? That's why God placed us in the church. So even though I feel like sleeping in on Sundays or just only attending once or every once in a while, I'm going to offer myself on this altar, God, because I know it's important, even though it's sacrificial to me. And maybe it's, God, I know that I need to spend money differently, and I don't know how, but I want to spend on myself. But God, I offer myself to you. Everything is blank in your life. From your finances, your time, your sleep, everything has to be blank. You must offer it all to God, and then watch what God will do in your life. He's going to start renewing your mind. You're going to start seeing things differently. You're going to start loving people differently. You're going to start acting differently, and not because you're good, not because you have the ability to do it, but because you offered yourself to God. He renewed your mind, and he transformed your life, and he used you in a mighty and powerful way. This is the good news. For 2016, this is the good news for everybody that's ever walked the faceless planet. This is the good news of the kingdom of God. It's what we call the gospel. It's good news of the kingdom that Jesus has made a way. And he's just offering you one thing. He's asking you to do one thing, to offer yourself. To worship him is to live. I live to worship you. I offer myself to you. Let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I ask you today to consider. I urge you, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to view God's mercy. To think about his mercies. To think about his goodness. I appeal to you today, brothers and sisters, to think about how he's loved you, how he's cared for you, how he's provided for you. How he's given you new life through Jesus Christ. How he's taken away your sin with his sacrifice on the cross. I want you to view his mercies this morning. I want you to dwell upon his goodness. To meditate upon his grace. I urge you, brothers and sisters, I appeal to you to view his mercies. And in viewing his mercies, I urge you, I appeal to you to consider offering yourself as a holy and living sacrifice to him. You're not holy because you made yourself holy. You're holy because Jesus made you holy. He set you apart for such a time as this, right now, to offer yourselves to him. He set you apart out of your sin because his mercies are new, because God has conquered death and sin through the cross and resurrection. He set you apart to be a living sacrifice, to model our Savior Jesus and what he did. He willingly went to the cross. Now he's asking you to willingly go to that cross and die to yourselves. Let 2016 be the year of transformation for your life, not because you changed one behavior, not because you set a goal, but because God renewed your mind. Because you offered yourself, you offered your time. You offered time to him to pray, to read his word, to spend time with his family. You offered your time, your money. You sacrificed so much just to be with him. And through that, he renewed your mind. He revealed to you his will. And you fulfilled the promises and the passion, the purpose that God has for your life in 2016. That's what it means to turn over a new leaf. I ask you to turn that leaf over now, to offer yourselves to him.